your agenda, there was no mention of the election of the chairperson, because I sent the agenda earlier on, and then I was informed yesterday that the chairperson won't be in today. So we're going on to the procedure of electing the chairperson. In terms of Rule 159, and then which says if the chairperson of the committee is absent or unable to perform the function of the chairperson, the committee must elect another of its members as acting chairperson. So like I explained previously, we are going to ask members to nominate someone as an acting chairperson for the meeting. And then if there's going to be one nomination, it means, and then there's no other nomination, that person will become a chairperson. And then if there's going to be more than one nomination, then we'll vote by show of hands. The person with the most votes will become the chairperson of the committee for today, the acting chairperson, not the chairperson. So I would like to call for the nomination. Any nomination from the members?
Then there was a letter which was sent by the minister to say, you know, from
from the previous engagement with the committee, there's not been any other update because it's still waiting to appear before the cabinet. And then the letter was sent yesterday. You could have seen that. No, yeah, I sent it twice. Then there was a mistake on the first one, but the content was the same. That was that. And then in terms of the apologies, I've got two apologies. One is from Advocate Bongo, and then the other one is from Ms. Van der Merwe. That's all, Chair.
Thank you. I will invite on the inquiry position. Can I establish if the department there's no any apology they want to render, Minister?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members of the committee. Our apology is from the Deputy Minister, Honourable Nzuza, because we have deployed him to attend an international meeting with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugee and DECO. He will be representing us there, and we agreed that I come to this portfolio committee and he goes to attend to that one. Further than that, I don't know whether there's any apology among officials. I'm not aware of that.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Mutualedi. Let me invite members to deal with this matter of a request from the Minister, so that we approve it at the committee level. I'm going to invite the members if there's they want to input on the letter, so that we don't impose a decision. The chair does not impose a decision. The minister requesting us to refer later the issue of the Electoral Act briefing, because we were briefed previously and there's no yet movement at the level of cabinet. Can I invite the Honorable Lekota?
I have no input to do with regard to this, Chair.
Okay. Can I invite the Honorable Kanyele?
Good morning. Thank you so much, Chair, for the opportunity. I think the letter is explanatory, as it just explain it again yourself. All we can do as a committee, note it as it is. Hope that next time we get a... Thank you so much.
Can I rebuttal, Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm also, I take note of the letter and I concur with my colleague's comments on it.
Thank you, Honorable Mulekwa. Thank you, Honorable Tito.
I don't have any comments.
Thank you, Tito.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, all of my colleagues. Chair, I also take note of the letter. It's fine like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mutisa.
Thank you, Chair. The letter is noted, and there is no further comment. We note it as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Khwate.
Thank you, Chairperson and colleagues. Good morning. The letter has been noted, Chair. I think we must just continue with the meeting. The request is accepted.
Thank you, Honorable Mwela.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. Agreed and letter accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members, for approving the request from the department. We will now invite the Home Affairs Department to brief us on the performance quarter one, and after that we'll take comments and discussions, and we'll conclude the meeting. I'm inviting Minister and the team to lead the presentation. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much once more, Honorable Chabani, Chairperson of the day, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. And let me thank you once more for your understanding about the letter we have sent. We have sent you the report as you requested on the 29th of September, as requested by the committee. The report on the presentation of the Home Affairs Committee of the quarter one performance of Home Affairs in the 2021, for the 2021 financial year. Chairperson, in introducing the topic, which of course will be presented by the acting DG, Mr. McKay, I put on the screen there something that I didn't send to you because it's my introductory remarks, but I thought it would be important for me to put it on the screen for you to view so that you are able to follow what I'm saying. Mr. McKay, it has disappeared. What's going on? Hello? Can you go right to the beginning?
Yes, Minister. I'm trying to...
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Minister, we're using a new... this is Zoom and I'm still trying to get used to it. My apologies.
Oh, gosh, it's changing again.
Okay, there you go, Minister.
Yes, let it stay here until I say so. Please, if technology can allow you that. Honorable members, I just want to report to you that we are going to give this performance in quarter one and inform you what happened during that quarter. The quarter one started 3 days after the national state of disaster was declared, after the lockdown at level 5 was announced by the president. You'll remember that in line with the regulations and the decisions that were passed during the lockdown and the decisions of the Minister of Public Service and Administration of how the public administration is going to work. At lock level 5, we suspended most of the services that we normally provide to the citizens. And so all Home Affairs offices could only provide 3 services. They could only provide death registration so that people could be buried. They could only provide temporary identity certificate. This was for people who had IDs, either misplaced them or lost them or something has happened to them. But we gave temporary identity certificate for the holders to be able to go on with their lives, do bank transactions and all the other issues that need an ID so that their life doesn't come to a standstill. But we're not issuing any ID at all. We also reissued death certificate, meaning again, death certificate for people who used to have a death certificate before something happened to it. We reissued them because some of them were needed for child support grant during this crisis and many other transactions that will need a death certificate. Chairperson, we did this because we did not want lots and lots of people. The masses of people who go to Home Affairs offices were going to be massively infected. And at any rate, as I said, the rules of the public service administration were that we sent only one set of workers to work. So these are the only services we're rendering. Any other service which you know Home Affairs to have been rendering were suspended at that period. So it's going to be that you cannot perform on a service which is definitely not there. Then when we went down to lock level 4, apart from death registration, apart from death registration and death registration, let me put it this way. The services that were rendered at level 4 was death registration, which was there at level 5, death registration, which at level 5 was not there, it was reissued. Now we started giving birth certificate, the real birth certificate, only at level 4. We continued with the temporary identity certificate, the TICs. Of course, we continued with the reissuance of birth certificate as we've been doing log level 5. And then we added also the collection of ID. That means people who had applied for ID before the lockdown. You are aware that Home Affairs generally will always have IDs that are uncollected. And at this juncture, it was about 500,000 IDs that were not collected. We then opened for people to come and collect them. We then started issuing passports to those in the export and cargo transport. You remember that while the borders were closed, people who were truck drivers who were transporting cargo and commercial goods and export across and imports across the borders needed passports. So we opened for them at log level 4. Then we went down to log level 3. We still continued with the death certificate. We continued with the birth registration. We continued with the temporary identification documents. We continued with the reissuance of birth certificate. We continued with the collection of identity documents. Then we added late registration of birth. You are aware that late registration of birth is a special category of people who want birth certificates already late. Generally, a birth certificate is issued after 30 days. If you get it later, some people come even at the age of 10, 13, up to 14 years. That is called late registration of birth. We opened for it at log level 3. Then there was registration and solemnization of marriages. During log level 5 and 4, no marriages were offered. And so we opened for them at log level 3. And then we opened also for issuance of smart ID card for learners only. Because you were aware that at log level 3, schools were reopening and matriculants were preparing to write matric exams. And many of them were turning 16 and at the age of taking an ID. So we opened for them at log level 3. So these are the services at level 5, 4, I mean 1 to 2 and 1. Can you move? Then we went down to level 2. At log level 2, we opened for applications for first issue of ID cards or green barcoded ID documents. That means people who were coming to take an ID for the first time in their lives, either a green barcoded ID or the ID card, we then opened for them. We also opened for applications for ID cards or green barcoded ID by persons who have been issued with a temporary identity certificate during the national state of disaster, which temporary ID certificate has expired. Chairperson, when I presented log level 5, 4, and 3, you noticed that we're issuing people with TICs or temporary identification documents. So we said those which have expired at level 2, they can now come and exchange it for a real ID. They can come and present and apply for a real ID, only for those who have expired. Now, all identity temporary certificates issued during the lockdown period, that had not yet expired by the date of publishing the directive, were extended until the end of October 2020. In which we were still supposed to be if we did not go down to log level 1. What we mean here, Chairperson, is this. Maybe let me explain why we differentiated between two groups of people who were collecting TICs, etc. We looked at the numbers of the people who were holding temporary identification certificates. We looked at the numbers and calculated if we open for all of them to go to Home Affairs, what will happen to the queues and to social distancing and to the number of people. And we came upon a conclusion that we must divide them. Those with temporary identification certificate has expired, they must come and take IDs. Those which certificates have not yet expired, we extend it up to the end of October, so that they go up to the end of October with temporary identification certificates. Then applications for amendments of personal particulars were opened for the first time. That means people who wanted to change personal particulars on their ID, either maybe doing something which suits them. Then we also added application for rectification of personal particulars. Rectification means where your ID comes with a mistake. It might be a mistaken date of birth or a misspelling of your name, etc., etc. Then you come and apply for it to be rectified. Yeah, and we also opened for back office record retrieval services. Then we went to log level one. The additional services that were added in log level one was that now we are fully issuing IDs, meaning the application for IDs and cards and other documents for identification was fully opened on the 1st of October, that is last week, meaning then that the people in log level 2 who we said their temporary identification certificate are extended up to the end of October have got a choice whether they want to keep that temporary identification certificate to the end of October or to apply a new one. But once you are at log level 1, it means the issues at log level 2 falls away, so they can come and apply for IDs. Then we also opened for all forms of passports. As you know, our borders are now partially opened. People need passports, no longer truck drivers and emergency services workers and people in the export market. Passports are now open for everybody. So as you listen, Chairperson, to the achievement, you are going to notice that the achievements are actually fitting in line with what services were being given, because some services were simply not there, so which means the achievement would have been zero for that type of a service, because we have got to report it because it appears on the APP. Mr. McKay, are you going to the last one? Immigration. Mr. McKay? I see veteran go down the screen instead of my presentation. Veteran Legault, I'm looking at you. I thought I'll see my presentation, but I'm seeing you. You are muted. You are muted. We can't hear you. You are muted.
Can I stop this so that we don't get disrupted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. When it comes to immigration, honorable members, the impression has been very extensive. Being required to adjust to a large-scale operational review and reduction of client services across export control, permitting, and asylum seeker management. In the process, if you remember, 35 land ports of entry were shut down totally. They were not working. And 18 of the remaining who were opened were only offering limited services, which were authorized to, for specific categories of travelers, which I've already mentioned, commercial travelers, repatriation, emergency status, etc., etc. Now, I need to remind the committee and not take for granted that you remember. You remember that we have got 53 land ports of entry in the country. When the lockdown started, late in March, we closed 35 land ports of entry and remained with only 18. Now, just to remind honorable members why, how the 35 were chosen. Ordinarily, at the point of entry, you find about 6 government entities. You find Home Affairs responsible for passports. You find SARS responsible for customs. You find agriculture responsible for what agricultural goods are allowed in and out of the country. You find environment, which does the same thing with flora and fauna. You find South African police services, and so you, and then you find health who deal with health protocols, which was especially important, extremely important during this time of COVID, of screening people who come in and out, even those who were allowed. Now, in these 35 points of entry, you did not find these six government departments. You found only two. It was Home Affairs processing passports and one or two policemen for law and order and nothing else. All the other services were not rendered, which means the 35 ports were not commercially viable. They were not doing any commercial activity. So it was very safe to close them as we were controlling the borders. The 18 remaining borders were given these special services which I've mentioned because they had all the complement of government departments that are needed at the point of entry. So you could see that the issue of immigration, of moving and out, was severely curtailed. And there's been a total shutdown of all refugee reception offices, as well as frontline services offered by the department's permitting services. Visa facilitation the visa facilitation services of 1 October 2020. That means they only assumed last week. For the past 7 months, they were totally closed. The inspectorate has remained operational, participating authorized interdepartmental crime containment operation with a focus on combating illegal immigration, movements of undocumented persons and deportations. So while all the other services were curtailed, the inspectorate, these people who are inspectors of immigration, who can arrest, who can deport and all that, that those ones remain active because they are part of the criminal system in the country. And if we close them, we're going to increase levels of crime. So now when you listen to the acting DG presenting this quarter one performance, the performance will be based on what I've just told you, on the presence or absence of services. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, acting DG. Acting DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to make sure if you can see the slides on your side, Honorable.
Yes, proceed, DG, you can see the slides.
Thank you very much. I will go to the presentation now. Chairperson, I will take it that the presentation has been read. The outline is basically our vision, mission, and value statement. The second part deals with our outcomes and strategic objectives. The third part deals with our quarter one performance report. The fourth, the list of the targets that were not achieved during quarter one. And then we have our budget versus the expenditure as at the end of the 30th June 2020. That is the end of the first quarter. Chairperson, our vision, the portfolio committee is by now is well aware of our vision and our mission as well as the values of the department and the DHA outcomes. As well, I will move straight, Chairperson, to slide number 5. There were 28 targets planned for the first quarter, Chairperson, and only 8 of these targets were achieved. Chairperson needs to be seen in the context of events. A total of 20 targets were not achieved, and this is depicted, of course, in the graph below. Chairperson, if we have a look at the performance per CRPA program 1, which is our administration program, we had a 24% achievement. Program 2, the civics program, we had a 33% achievement, and the immigration program had a 37.5% achievement. Chair, if we have a look at the comparison between the previous financial year, 2019 to 2020, versus the 2021 financial year, you would see that it's basically a opposite chairperson. During 1920, we achieved 72% and 28% not achieved. In 2021 financial year, we've achieved 29% and 71% not achieved. The financial year, as explained, Chairperson, did not start on a good footing due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and most of the department services were suspended in compliance with the lockdown regulations, and this is reflected in our performance in the quarter under review. When compared with the 1920 performance for quarter one, which is 72%, the department performed very poor during the 2021 performance year with an achievement of 29%. But given the context, Chairperson, it was understandable why the department would have performed in that way. If we have a look at the Program 1, Chairperson, targets, and I will only talk to those that we have not achieved, Chairperson. I'm on slide 9. We were to have 10 assessment reports of IT or assessments of reports of IT infrastructure for 10 offices abroad, should have been signed off by the DDG Immigration Services. Chair, this assessment in the identified countries was not done due to the lockdown and non-movement between countries. And Chair, the corrective measure is that this target will be 21 to 22 of the current COVID lockdown conditions. The next target, Chair, was we needed to have a bid advertised for a service provider to develop the asylum seeker and refugee system. This was also not achieved, Chairperson, because of a restriction of movement, and the committee could not meet during that particular time. And the process has started, Chair, currently, and the committee sits weekly to draft the specifications, so we hope to have this done during the second quarter. With regard to the one-stop border post policy submitted to Cabinet for approval, our quarter one targets was that we would have had an initial SAYS report submitted to DPME for approval, as well as a draft OS one-stop border post policy submitted to the clusters for recommendation to Cabinet. This policy has been submitted and approved by the PMA Steering Committee for submission to the Minister for approval, but we could not take it through the clusters. And again, Chairperson, we hope to do this in the second quarter. In the next slide, Chairperson, we had to have a draft marriage policy submitted to Cabinet for approval. The quarter one target was the initial SAYS report submitted to DPME, and the draft marriage policy submitted to the ACPS and social clusters for recommendation to Cabinet. We were able to present the draft marriage policy to Civic Services on the 5th of June 2020, and quarter one target has been reviewed in light of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we will forward the policy to the Minister for approval in the second quarter of this financial year. Chairperson, the other target was not achieved, the GHA bill submitted to Cabinet for approval. We had to have gazetted this bill during quarter one for public comments. The 2019 annual target for submitting the DH bill to Cabinet for approval for public consultation was not achieved. And during quarter one, the bill was recommended, and just completely review the DHA bill, and this bill will be resubmitted to the Minister for approval and submission to Cabinet. With regard to the service delivery model approved by the Minister, we needed to have appointed a service provider to develop the service delivery model for Home Affairs. The request for an open tender for the appointment of the service provider for the development of the service delivery model was approved by the BAC on the 17th of February 2020. The bid specification committee meeting for the development for the bid specifications was scheduled for March 2020. However, due to the COVID-19 lockdown, we could not develop the specification and nor could we present it to the BAC. The way forward with this target, Chairperson, is that we will be doing this during the second quarter of this financial year. The other target not achieved was the DHA footprint development strategy in line with the approved access model. Chair, we could not, this target was also contingent on the access model being completed. And because there was a delay on the access model, this target also could not be achieved and was moved on to quarter two of this financial year. Chair, I am on slide 14. Target not achieved was two Home Affairs business processes evaluated to identify possible vulnerabilities to fraud, corruption, and security breaches. We also could not achieve this because we could not do this due to the lockdown, and this target has been reviewed to align with the new realities on the ground. Chair, we were supposed to have done 15 threat risk assessments conducted in accordance with the MISS or the Minimum Physical Security Standards. We could not achieve this target because during the time of the pandemic, we could not access these assessments. And we have also relaxed this target. We could only do 109 vetting files that were referred to. We were supposed to have done 109 vetting files referred to the SSA for evaluation. Only 19 was done because of disruption due to COVID. Chairperson, with regard to civic affairs, during quarter one, we should have issued 780,000 smart ID cards issued to citizens. This, of course, was not done, as Minister has explained in his preface to this presentation. We only achieved 22,903 of these smart cards. With regard to 90% of machine-readable passports issued to citizens, this as well, Chairperson, we only achieved 10.97% because of the fact that we have during levels 5 to 4, we have not issued any passports except to essential workers that required passports. With regard to immigration affairs, Chairperson, we needed to have 50 law enforcement target operations. Only two were achieved, Chair. During this time, the inspectorate worked closely with the law enforcement agencies on other targets that were identified during COVID. and did not achieve the 50 operations with regard to the planned operations that we had according to our APP. The second target, immigration target, not achieved was the immigration bill submitted to Cabinet for approval during quarter one. We should have consulted with NADLAC as well as consulted the JCPS cluster on the draft immigration bill. The consultation was only undertaken with NADLAC in May 2020 and could not be undertaken with the JCPS cluster as the target has been discontinued. The corrective measure here, Chapter, is the target to develop the discussion paper for the white paper on the management of international migration and refugee protection. We are reviewing, Chairperson, our white paper on international migration because of the new or emerging risks and threats within this particular period area. We also had to issue 85% of permanent residence applications adjudicated within 8 months. Chairperson, we could only achieve 27.1% of permanent residence applications during this period because all immigration services were curtailed during COVID, with the exception, of course, of the ports of entry, those that were open, as well as the inspectorate function. Chair, if I could move on to slide 24. The launch of the BMA, Chairperson, this was not achieved. The BMA bill was adopted by Parliament in March 2020, and the bill was subsequently submitted to the Office of the President for assent and signing. And feedback is awaited in this regard. Chairperson, you will recall that this is the first quarter. So during the second quarter, we can report, Chairperson, that the President had signed and assented to the Border Management Agency bill. On slide 25, Chairperson, the National Targeting Center related to the Border Management Authority was supposed to have been established, or the establishment plan was supposed to be submitted to the Director General for approval. This was not achieved, Chairperson, during this quarter, and it will be moved to the second quarter of this financial year. Chair, I will not speak to slide 27 and 28 because another dead dog, Shepherd, is just another. We just talked to the targets that have not been achieved during quarter one that I've already spoken to. Chair, I'm on slide 29. The COVID-19. Lockdown had a negative impact on all of our programs. The lack or limited movement did not allow other processes that depended on mobility to be concluded. An example, for instance, is the rolling out of our e-visa system. This was supposed to have been done by conducting or going to certain countries. Traveling to other countries, and this could not be done during the lockdown. Counter-corruption as well was not able to conduct field work during the pandemic period. Supply chain processes that could not be finalized due to COVID-19, this also could not be done. And in terms of civic affairs, the printing of documents and the dispatching to front offices did not take place as usual. We were working with a skeleton staff during this period. And when looking into the immigration environment, less applications were received than usual, and this affected our performance. Chairperson, I will now hand over to our CFO to speak to our budget and expenditure as at the end of the 30th of June 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members and my colleagues, good morning to you all and thank you for this opportunity to present the budget versus expenditure outcomes as at the end of 30 June 2020. This is the first quarter. Chairperson, I am on slide 32. And I will spend some time on this slide, Chair, just to take you through at a high level. At this point, Chair, our budget was still 9 billion rands. Of that 9 billion rands, we spent 2.2 billion rands, which translates to a percentage of 24.8%. Chairperson, if we apply a linear projection, that would be 25% at the end of the first quarter. We're slightly underspending at the end of this quarter. Chairperson, you will then also see under Citizen of 2 that expenditure is at 32.7, but the reason for that higher spend is because of a greater transfers to the IEC, the Electoral Commission, as well as with drawdowns by the Represented Political Parties Fund. Chairperson, so if you look at the second, just below earmarked funds on the Electoral Commission, you'll see that they took down they drew down of a budget of 2 billion rands, 745 in the first quarter. That's in accordance with their cash flow projections, Chair, so it's not something unusual, but it affects us on our expenditure trends for Program 2. Chairperson, then just at the bottom, there's self-financing of the slide. The expenditure is 93 billion rands. Chairperson, this facility is provided to us by National Treasury. It allows us to use the money we collect as revenue through the sale of IDs and passports to spend on certain items such as cash in transit, the production of enabling documents and that. Chairperson, you'll see that we have spent 93 million rands, but we don't have a budget for it. And when I get to revenue at the end, you'll also see that our revenue collection was significantly lower because of the fact that we did not sell or issue any passports or IDs during this time. Chairperson, I'm going to then move to the next slide. This is just at the program level, Chair. It's the same information. Again, the overall expenditures is 24.8%. Program 2 is the higher one, the 28%. Immigration Services is at 22%. And then administration at 18%. Chairperson, I'm going to move on. So on this slide, this is on economic classifications. Compensation of employees. Chairperson, you'll see that we spent 22% on compensation of employees. That's well within our linear spending. There is an issue here regarding the payment of salary adjustments. There's ongoing litigation between the DPSA and the unions on this matter. So if that litigation does not go the way of the DPSA, then we'll have to implement the wage agreements, and then that salary expenditure will increase significantly. Chairperson, goods and services is low. It's to be expected for a time during lockdown when we couldn't spend as much as we did. I do have a slide at the end that deals with COVID spending in particular. Chair, departmental agencies and accounts, that was the 33%, that's the transfers to IEC and the Represented Political Parties Fund. And then, Chair, we'll also see that there's another one that's significantly high. Chairperson, the budget for Bushimol to cater for the 562 million baseline cut that was implemented during July. So, but I can come back to that. So it looks high, Chair, but we are under pressure when it comes to buildings and fixed structures. Chairperson, I'm just going to move. So this is just the narratives, like explaining that the departmental agencies and accounts is 33 against the linear. This is because of, as per the public entity's cash flow projections, buildings and fixed structures are at 82%. High spending is due to 70 more that was reprioritized towards the 562 million baseline cut. Chairperson, then the next two slides just deals with the expenditure per branch. So you can then see that at the ministry's expenditure is 18% overall for ministry is 20.7%, management support services 15.5%, corporate services 16.9%, office accommodation 15.7%, transversal information technology management, our wire spend 22%. This is spending on program one, so it's slightly lower than what is expected. It's 6.5 against the linear. The lockdown impacted us negatively, as well as the economy not being fully functional. Most of the spending is in program one was centered around the procurement of personal protective equipment for staff and the appointment of additional security services at various offices. Chairperson, this is program two, citizen affairs. As I indicated earlier, that the Electoral Commission took a significant part of the drawdowns in the first quarter, 745, represented political parties just to 25%, identification services, same, and then there's the expenditure on self-financing, the 74 million, nearly 75 million under self-financing, which I explained earlier, Chair. So that one we'll deal with. This is for passports and enabling documents, passports and IDs, which we paid to GPW. So that 74.9 million rands was paid to GPW. Chairperson, on the provinces, are not really under pressure. All of them are within the linear expenditure trends. They're still not facing any significant budget pressures at this point in time in quarter one. So all of them are below 25% spend check. Chairperson, then, as I said, the spending at the end of June is 28%, which is slightly higher. That's because of the IEC drawdowns. And then there's also the payment to GPW on self-financing, the 80 million rands, which I spoke of earlier. Austin, it's well within the 22%. For the grand total, gives us the 24.8% for the department as a whole. Chairperson, there's not much to say about immigration services. Mr. McKay has already indicated that most of our operations were stagnant and we were not fully functional during this time. Chairperson, this is for COVID spending as at the end of June. We set aside a budget of 40 million rands for COVID spend. Of that budget, 13.9 million rand was spent at the end of June. That left us with a budget of 26 million rands for COVID to take us through the end. Chairperson, we are spending significantly slow on COVID. I think the introduction of cloth masks instead of the N95 masks, the fact that we procure on a large scale, so we buy quantities for 3 months on the sanitizer, all that has contributed to us not spending as much as we anticipated in the beginning. Chairperson, this is the revenue collection. As to be expected, our revenue collection was significantly low, Chair, so we only collected 5 million rands for the first quarter. We have accordingly took a decision not to incur further expenditure on self-financing until our revenue collection matches that of the expenditure, Chair. So our revenue collection has started to improve in quarter two. So it's looking better. It's now just over 30 mil, but we still, if you'll recall, Chair, we have already spent 90 mil, so we must first collect 90 mil in revenue before we can start spending on self-financing again. Chairperson, I think it's also prudent that I just share with you the development subsequent or during quarter one. I think we have already briefed the portfolio committee on the 562 million baseline cuts that was introduced by National Treasury. You will recall, Chair, that we presented this as a targeted approach. We were very selective in which areas we targeted not to affect operations. Chairperson, so our budget, the 9 billion rand budget, which I spoke of initially, was reduced in this financial year with 562 million rands already, but that you'll only see in quarter two, Chair. Chairperson, I think I've come to the end of my presentation, and thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Acting DG, is that the report?
That is the report. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Okay. Thank you, Minister, for presenting the report on behalf of the party. To invite members to comment and have a discussion on the report that has been made in the context that has been introduced and the presentation made by the DG and the expenditure pattern by the CFO. I will invite members who are on the attendance, Honorable Mutise, Honorable Lukota, Honorable Rose, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Tito, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Lokwase, Honorable Muela. I'm sure if I've left a member, they will give me an indication, but these are members who are in attendance to interface with this report. Can I invite Honorable Mutise? Okay. Can I invite Honorable Lukota? Veteran Lukota?
I have followed the reports, but I have nothing to really say at this stage.
Thank you, Honorable Lukota. Honorable Rose, I must indicate the honorable members and colleagues that it appears other honored members have difficulties with the network. I got two indications. I think we must take note of that difficulty. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Acting Chair, and to all the presenters. I'll just ask the questions in terms of the different categories. So I'll start with the administration. We had the e-visa system, which was paused just before lockdown, so just before this quarter. And then the information system modernization project. So these are very important projects to get going with. What is the plan in terms of these projects? Is the department going to catch up on the process? Are these projects both starting now again, or are they both restarting? What is the plan with these projects to get them going again? Then in terms of the household spending, this seems to be a pattern every year. Of an over expenditure in the household spending, which is basically leave payouts and gratuities. So my understanding is that normally this is taken from the income, which we don't have this year. So where will this overrun come from this year? And what is the reason why there is this continuous contract? The other question I saw of staff that were at home, there were about two-thirds of the staff that were at home during this time period. Did their leave continue to accrue during lockdown, or did they have to forfeit their leave? It seems as they were at home through a choice or not, because this happened with a lot of people in this country where through no fault of their own they were at home, but then they had to forfeit their leave for those days that they had off. Then the civic services. So, you know, I think the obvious point here is the fact that just over 22,000 IDs were issued. So my big concern in this regard is really the plan for the learners. I know that there were some mobile units that went out. I've started to get a lot of inquiries now about learners. They're coming up to their matric exams now, and they still don't have IDs, and it's very difficult for them to go during the week. So what is the plan and what is the status at the moment of that mobility project to get out to these high schools and get these learners their IDs? My other question for Mr. Hollenby really is, in terms of the self-financing, that this obviously presents a massive gap in self-financing. How does this affect the GPW, the Government Printing Works' revenue, as well as the budget for the end of the year? Is this something that we will catch up on, or is there a gap that's going to have to be filled somehow? And then my question in terms of civics is we haven't been able to apply for passports really for a very long time. And now we have South Africans that are are stuck overseas and they're at the point where they have to now come home to renew their passport. They just can't do it from the foreign mission. But when they try and make, when they try and go there, they're told that they need to have an appointment, which can be 1 or 2 weeks in advance. And I just want to understand, why do they have to make an appointment? I mean, if you can come in South Africa to a Home Affairs office and stand in the queue and apply for your passport, why do you have to make an appointment in a mission overseas? If you come there and there's no queue, why can you not be serviced? Then from an immigration point of view, firstly, Minister and colleagues, I have to give a huge amount of kudos to an official, Madiri Matthews, in terms of how he's handled himself and how he's been available for the citizens of this country during this time. So please allow me to give that credit where it is due. I think really, Mr. Matthews, if it's on a Sunday, if it's on a Saturday, if it's at night, if there's an emergency, with all the, you know, with what the regulations has caused in terms of the load on immigration, allow me to give a, you know, a huge vote of confidence to his job, and he's been a real credit. My second question is really, well, my first question is around the refugee reception offices. So I might have missed it, but I haven't really seen any announcement in terms of level one. Are these refugee reception offices open? Is the RABS and the SCRA committees, are they operational at this point in time? If not, what is the process now to get these things going? They urgently need to get going. And then finally, a comment, you know, and really I personally welcome the review of the immigration policy. I think certainly there are new emerging threats that we see at our borders. But there's also emerging opportunities with the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. And so I look forward to seeing a more progressive immigration policy coming out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ross. Honourable Mulegwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the presentation made by the department. And we also acknowledge the fact that we all know that most of the departments were affected negatively by the COVID-19.
Honourable Lekwa, sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
It indicates that there's a radio somewhere. I'm not sure whether it's there. Can we be assisted, member?
I'm sorry to
My apologies, Chair Person. I'm attending two popular committee meeting at the same time.
No, thank you. Proceed, Honourable Mulekwa.
Okay, thank you, Chair Person. Let me start by welcoming the presentation made by the department. As I've indicated, that we acknowledge the fact that the COVID-19 impacted negatively in most of the program, not only for Home Affairs, but in most of the departments were affected by this pandemic, Chairperson. But however, I just want to check with the department if there is any plan in place in order to fast-track the program that were affected by COVID-19, because we can see that most of the program were affected, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Tito.
Thanks, Chairperson, and I also welcome the Department of Home Affairs. My question will be on the vacancies. These 121 vacancies that are funded, but yet the department has the low expenditure on this item. When is the department likely to advertise and fill the vacancies? And also on the issue of the mobile units, can the department also give us per province and then in the schools that the mobile units went to, and then how many learners were assisted, and then were there any other issues in terms of maybe the other learners, they did not have proper documentations, and then how did they assist those learners? And also on the issues of the IDs, next year we have our local 2022 2021 elections. I think that that one we must fast track on it, because of already, even right now, we have a backlog, and then the department must come up with a strategy on how are we going to move on the issuance of IDs and also on the applications of new applications of the IDs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyele.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I would like to start welcoming the presentation by the department as well. And I would also like to share the same sentiment my colleague, Honorable Ross, regarding the assistance that we have been getting from the Department of Home Affairs, especially from the DDG or the DDG, Mudiri Matthews. He was very helpful during the time of all the levels. We're all aware that during the level 5 and 4, there are certain documents that were not being issued, but we had essential workers that needed passports, that needed to travel around the country, and he was very helpful. Together with the DDG, Mr. Thomas Sigama, both of them, they've done an excellent work. They would like to extend our gratitude to how they have served the people of this country. Thank you so much. With that being said, I would like to find out from the department, when they made their presentation, they have indicated that they could not meet their target. We understand that they were not going to be in a position to meet their target, considering the fact that we're facing a pandemic. And they are indicating that their target was 780,000 smart card IDs, and they were only able to issue 2,903. We claim that they meet it, and they take more new applications, considering what Mr. Rose has said, that we have clients that have not received their smart card IDs, and they need them for their registration. And also that we are going to have the local government elections next year, and most of the community members are going to need their so that they can be able to vote. Another question that I have to the department, especially to the minister, is with regards to the blocked IDs. We have been discussing this issue, I think, from last year. It is indicated that he is paying attention to that. The question that I have to the minister is that, seeing that this matter has not been resolved, I think that this matter is going to be resolved before the elections, because if it is not, it means those people whose IDs, they are going to be denied an opportunity to go and cast their votes. The last concern that I would like to raise, in the last meeting that we had, I had poor network connection, and I was asked to submit my questions in writing. And till this day, I have not written.
Honorable Kanyele, I think we have lost you. We have lost the question you wanted to raise.
Then am I audible?
Yeah, can you go back, Honorable Kanyele? We have lost the question you wanted to put because of the net. It's a problem that you spoke about the network. That's why you also cut. So don't talk about the network. Just put your point across.
Okay, thank you so much. I wanted to raise the fact that I... the feedback to those questions. I had a network problem, and I was asked to submit my questions in writing. I did, and I have sent 2 follow-up emails already. Up until this day, I have not received a response. Can I please get a questions? And thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Lekhwase. Honorable Moyela?
No, Chair, thank you, Comrade Honorable Musa Chavani, Chairperson of the committee. Well, two issues. I want to also agree with Honorable Musa, who came in appreciating the report presented to us by the that is really appreciated. Two issues that I think I want to raise in supporting what other honourable members have indicated to say. In moving forward, we understand, honourable minister and the team, that some of the targets were not achieved because of the lockdown, COVID-19, and all other issues related to that. Now, in not achieving some of those targets, it is indicated that there are reasons and corrective actions as part of way forward. How are we going to make sure that we, in moving forward, we achieve those targets? Is there any monitoring system in making sure that those corrective actions and way forward are going to be processed correctly? Because for us to be able to say we've delivered, we need to deliver based on what we've achieved. So I agree with the department to say, and I appreciate that you've got reasons why we have not achieved, and we have even put corrective actions and way forward, which is appreciated. But in those corrective actions and way forward, we need to have a monitoring tool in making sure that we achieve those targets. Lastly, on issues on the issue of local government, as indicated by other honourable members, honourable minister and other and the department. Through you, Chair, we are approaching local government elections, and as we approach local government elections, it suggests that because we have a backlog as a department, what is it that we are going to do in an extra mile to go an extra mile in making sure that there are no disturbances as far as your IDs are concerned, as far as we approach local government elections, because we need to reach each and every level where we were targeting previously, so that everybody that is due to have an ID, those people, especially the youth, must have those IDs. Are there any plans? Are we going to go an extra mile in achieving this target so that local government elections cannot be a problem? Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
No, thank you, honourable members, for the inputs and also proposing how the department need to handle certain plans. I'm going to write in the sequence of interviews, the CFO and the Director General and the Minister in terms of the responses and the comments that have been made. CFO? Okay, Director General? Acting Director General?
Sorry, Chairperson. Mr. McKay and I just had to change chairs, Chair. Forgive me for that. Chairperson, I have two questions. The first is on household spending. We overspend on an annual basis. Chair, the problem with budgeting adequately for household spending is the unpredictability on when people will resign. But I do agree, Chair, that the 4 million rand budget for households is inadequate and that we need to increase that. We will do that during the adjustments then, Chair. Chairperson, the second question was also on self-financing and how that impacts the fact that we are not generating revenue. How will that impact on GPW? Chairperson, there's a direct correlation between our ability to sell the enabling documents, passports and IDs, and the revenue generated by GPW for printing those documents. So if we do not generate revenue, then GPW will also, as a consequence, Chair, suffer from our inability to generate revenue. Chairperson, we hope to catch up. We have reduced our revenue projections with 50%, so it's now 661 million rands instead of a 1.2 projected earlier. So we have revised those figures, and it's still an optimistic target, Chair, but if we resume operations fully as we intend to do now, in lockdown level one, we should be able to catch up and at least make sure that we cover the 90 more that we have already spent and paid over to GPW. Chairperson, so if we're not able to make up that shortfall, then we'll have to take that from our baseline, which is something we try to avoid. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those were my questions. Mr. McKay will join you now, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Honourable Chairperson, there were quite a few questions. I think every Honourable Member that questioned was asking our plan moving forward. How are we going to fast track our targets? We were requested by Parliament to review, all departments to review their APPs and their strategic plan in terms to have head on them. We submitted the APP, Honourable Chairperson, and strat plan, and we still need to come and present that to the portfolio committee. So if we could have an opportunity to present our APP, our reviewed APP and strat plan to the portfolio committee, it will answer, I think, most of the other questions or all the questions related to the way forward and how we are going to deal with some of these targets, because we have revised our targets in some cases. In some cases, we've moved our targets to the next financial year. So I think when we come to the portfolio committee with that presentation, it will answer those particular questions, Honourable Chairperson. Chair, with regard to the issues around, I'm just going to take a few, the issue around Honourable Ruiz and his question around the refugee reception offices, whether they are open or not. No, they are not open. They are still closed under level lockdown one. We envisage to open them after the lockdown period, the emergency period. And Chairperson, with regard to where the RAB and SCRA is operational, indeed the refugee appeals authority, as well as the Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs, are operational. They are working down the backlogs that they have, and they have been operational during the lockdown period. On the issue of why must they make appointments to apply for passports at admission, Chairperson, I will have to follow up on this. It might be that because of the COVID requirements and limiting the number of people coming into an office, it is a good practice to use an appointment system to be able to make sure that you do not have overcrowding at our missions. And we know that some of our missions, especially in London and in Nigeria, for instance, and in India, can they attract a lot of people, and it could be because of those reasons in terms of COVID precautions that have been put in place to the COVID-19 virus. I think the issues raised by Honourable Kanyile, indeed, she did send us some questions. We had returned the Chairperson. I'm not sure what happened. I will have to follow up, but maybe if I could deal with it, if you would allow me, Chairperson. There are just four questions that have been asked that I could respond to now. The one question was that when will the passport service reopen, and also the birth and marriage certificates for foreign passport and visa applications. The answer that our response, Chairperson, was that under level two, only certain categories are eligible to apply for passports. We are now on level one, so I think these questions are answered, Chairperson, with regard to the presentation Minister also made earlier on in terms of what services are now available at level lockdown one. The second question was whether the department can advise where the mobile units have been dispatched to in the Eastern Cape. The mobile units in the Eastern Cape were dispatched to Buffalo City Metro and the Amatole District, Raymond Mhlaba, Mbashe, the O.R. Tambo District and Alfred Nzo, at Bizana, Musa Hill and KSD, local municipality, as well as Krisani and Amatole District. The third question was, we have been advised that members of the community travel 175 kilometers from Willowmo, 110 kilometers from Klipgat, 86 kilometers from Jansenville, 55 kilometers from Aberdeen, and 173 kilometers from Rietbron. They are all getting home affairs at Graaf Reinet Home Affairs. Can the department make arrangements to have mobile units dispatched to the above areas regularly? The response, Chair, is that Home Affairs is aware of the challenges of its footprint, and in light of this, prior to the advent of mobile services, the department tried to mitigate by deploying light delivery vehicles for collection of applications on a scheduled basis. And as per our scheduled arrangement, the mobile officers will be deployed to the set areas on the field. Keep on dispatching Chairperson mobile units to us. The following offices have been closed for a while due to positive COVID-19 cases in East London, Mdantsane and King Williamstown. When will the above offices be reopened? And what are the measures currently in place to address the issue? As funeral parlors are piling up with bodies and families are also unable to bury their loved ones without death certificates. The response, Chairperson, is that the said offices were closed on account of COVID-19 positive officials. As follows, the East London local office was closed from the 16th of May to the 29th of June. And again on the 20th to the 27th of July, 2020. King Williamstown local office was closed from the 21st of July to the 3rd of August, 2020. And in Mdantsane local office from the 8th to the 17th of July. All these offices, Jefferson, have since been open for services. However, in order to ensure services, clients were referred to open offices nearest to those that were closed with the assistance of mobile office solutions. And for this reason, we were able, Chairperson, to issue death certificates, and we had no reports of people saying that they had problems or challenges getting death certificates. Over and above, Chairperson, the death registration was particularly prioritized at these offices and assigned with designated queues as well as designated staff to deal with them. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that deals with the issues that I should have responded to.
Thank you, Acting Deputy General. Minister?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chabani. I think my team has answered most of the questions. The issue of the plan on Leonard's ID is a pity we didn't bring the plan here, but I want to remind honorable members that it was once presented by the deputy minister that when schools honorable Nzuza in Home Affairs and the deputy minister of basic education jointly launched a campaign, and they chose a school in Mpumalanga to start doing these IDs. and together they are running these IDs to various places. Their weakness, which we also reported to this committee, was the fact that in quite a number of areas to visit schools, they are using mobiles. And we reported to you that the unfortunate part is that when you park a mobile in the center of Johannesburg, Cape Town, Pretoria or eThekwini, it works very well. But when you take it to the far rural areas, where it's needed the most, it stops breaking. And it was because all of them are fitted with MTN cards. And so we were in the process of taking everything, as we reported previously, that every mobile unit will have MTN, Vodacom, Cell C, Telkom, etc., to be able to catch as much waves as possible, wherever it is. It's a pity I didn't bring the plan here. The deputy minister was going to be in a better position to answer that. Unfortunately, as I said, he has apologized, but we'll try to get the information and give it to you. I want to welcome and thank members of the portfolio committee to give praise where it's due when they mentioned how Mr. Mudiri Matthews has been helpful and Mr. Sigawa is. But it encouraged our officials to realize that when they put efforts, they are being noted. So committee members must not only be known for rebuking those who don't do their work, but also for incentivizing acknowledgement those who do their work very well. So we want to welcome that, and we thank members of the committee for that. I think Honorable Tito's mobile unit is an issue as answered. But both Honorable Tito, it will also come Honorable Muela, are worried about ISIS and local government. Colleagues, honorable members, we have opened for ISIS. The biggest problem we're having about ISIS towards election is non-collection, as we have said. At local level 3, we open for collection. And if I'm not mistaken, about one-third of the total ISIS which were there collected, maybe about 35% of must be in help with their constituency offices. Remember, Chairperson, it is not that people don't know that their IDs are there. It's not like in the past. Most of these people who have applied for ID, most if not all of them, have got cell phone numbers, and they leave them there when they apply, and immediately the ID is ready. They are sent a message via the cell phone that your ID is here, please come and collect it. So it's not that people don't know, and it's not that they were not reminded, and it's not that maybe it's because they forgot it, they don't know. The IDs are there, we've advised them, and we were hoping at level 3 when we open, that we'll see an avalanche of people. And I'll tell you why we're hoping so. That people will be rushing to collect their IDs in order to take advantage of the COVID-19 benefits like the 350 rand, etc., etc. To my surprise, it was not like that. I still cannot perform exactly why there was no avalanche of people rushing to collect IDs. So we will still continue as we're doing any other year to encourage people to come and collect their IDs. Of course, we are aware that sometimes the collection is accelerated towards the elections, which is quite a great pity, because we want the collection to accelerate throughout the whole year. But unfortunately, that's how society is. Honorable Panile, you spoke about blocked IDs. Let me put it this way. First, blocks IDs. Almost on a daily basis, we block people IDs, depending on what we found about those people. And I want to assume that's not what Honorable Kanine is referring to. She's not referring to IDs that are blocked for various reasons, maybe reasons of criminality, reasons of fraudulence, and all that. I presume Honorable Kanine is speaking specifically of a group of IDs which were blocked in Mpumalanga, especially around the Hazyview area, for people who originated some 40 years ago from Mozambique. I presume so. That process is on, and I was given a preliminary report by officials who were dealing with this process that they've already finalized a few of them. They want to announce it. My worry is everybody's ID with blog is ancient. Now, if you announce a few because you are still busy with others, it will cause confusion and war in the community. I would rather not go there to announce anything, any change. It will cause a lot of chaos, anxiety, and uprisings for people who believe they've been left behind. So I'm not sure. I didn't go back to find out how far the process is. But when they told me it was only a fraction that we completed, and I thought it's not wise to rush in and announce a fraction. It will really trouble people. Thank you very much, honourable members.
Thank you, colleagues and honourable members, for comments on the report. Can I establish if there's a follow-up just for before we work towards the announcement and closing? Is there any follow-up? Okay, there's no indication. Members, we take appreciation of the work that has been done by the Department of Home Affairs during this difficult period of lockdown and the service rendered to our people. I think that is the central point members of the committee are appreciating, and I appreciate the good work that you continuously do in terms of the initiative programs that are established in the department. We take note that the negative COVID has contributed negatively to the programs for not achieving certain targets, and that is an appreciation that we are noting as members of the committee. We appreciate the collective service of all officials, senior management, for living up to the principle of Batho Pele principle. And I think that is demonstrated by citing Mr. Mutiri Mesios and Mr. Sigama, who, on behalf of all the officials of the department, has demonstrated the Batho Pele principle. I think we take appreciation to that. We'll continuously communicate to the platform where we preside to talk about the work of the department. Where credit is due, members of the committee are correct. We must appreciate that because we are the ones that conduct oversight on a department. And this, I think, is a demonstration of your repositioning of the department. We also take note that the plans that are on the review, the EPP, as Honorable Mayor has indicated, is a way forward. We may need also to take centrality of monitoring those non-achieved targets and monitor in terms of within the review EPP. Minister and your team and honourable members, we thank you very much for contributing to the discussion. Now that we are back at work, we think that all officials will rise up to the challenge faced in noting that they were none achieved as a result of the COVID. I think in the next session, we may not have, in the next quarterly report, there may not be any excuses given the reason that we presented around the COVID. We wish you a good progress in terms of the work. Let's continue to implement the joint efforts of Deputy Minister of Basic and Home Affairs in terms of the program of the issuing of the IDs to our learners, Honourable Ross has indicated, and other members indicated on the plans. We've noticed that good plan and it's rolling in terms of the interaction with our members. Let's establish cohesion and coherency in terms of making sure that we assist the department in distributing the ID and mobilizing our people to make sure that those that have applied for ID, they go back and collect the ID. I will step off this matter and invite the Honorable, Mr. Matonsi, if there's announcements to be alerted members of the committee. Mr. Matonsi?
Yeah, just one reminder that on Friday, this coming Friday, we do have a meeting with the IEC where they will be briefing the committee on the electoral laws amendment bill, which was tabled on the 23rd of September. So I just wanted to let members know that we're going to have a meeting on Friday at 9 o'clock. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Matonzi. Members, the meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Members. Goodbye. Thank you.